You could turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. We're going to read verses 35 through 45, then specifically look at the last three verses. The title of my message is Not to Be Served, But to Serve. I just want to give a couple brief thoughts, specifically on verse 45. But let's read the whole passage, starting in verse 35 of Mark 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, to Christ, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized, immersed with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers for the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. So, we're going to summarize this passage. What's the one thing Christ is hitting at? I think He's taking this mindset that these people have, this mindset that the Gentile leaders, they see in them, that they want to be Lord over all. And Christ is coming along showing them that's not the correct mindset. Jesus is teaching them greatness is found in being a servant. It's found in being a slave of all. Greatness is not found in being great, but being low, and that brings you up higher. And I want to talk about this today for two reasons. One is just for all of us in some way to apply as we serve one another in the daily life of the local church. But more specifically, with this conference coming up next week, the fellowship conference, I felt a burden to bring this idea out in order to remind all of us as we go there to be there not to be served, but to serve. And I think that's really important to go into the conference with that mindset. So this is just a refresher on something we already all know, but just to remind us again that we would have it fresh in our minds. You know, no to-do list is really going to make you be a servant. I could give you 20 things. This is what you need to be doing to serve. That really won't make the difference. What will make the difference is being convinced that the example the Lord Jesus brought, being a slave of all, is what's greatest. Being convinced of that example will be what will make you, in no matter what situation you're in, look for opportunities to serve. If my heart is right, I will find opportunities to serve and I will take them. If I've got a list of five things, I may go do those things, but is my heart right? What's my motive for why I'm serving? Now, I want to look briefly at the context. What happens? Verse 37, they said to him, Grant us to sit one at your right hand, one at your left in your glory. So what did they have? They had a desire for the preeminent spot. These people wanted to be in the prime time spot. Verse 37 or 38, Jesus tells them that they don't know what they're asking. And that's a good reminder for us. There's times we ask for something. We want a bigger opportunity to serve, and yet we don't know what we're asking. Verse 38, he says, Are you able to be immersed, baptized, drowned in the suffering that I am. Because to be a greater servant, it comes with so much more suffering. Being low in order to be exalted, as Christ gave us the example. Verse 39, and they said to Him, we are able. So Christ says, are you able to be baptized with all this suffering, immersed in all of it? And their responses were able. Jesus goes on to tell them they are going to suffer like Him. But as far as who's going to sit on the right and the left, that's not for Him to decide. In verse 41, we see when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And I liked what MacArthur said about that. He said they were indignant, maybe, because they thought, rats, they beat us to it. I was going to go ask too to be at the right and the left. But they beat us to it. Kind of upset there. Not a good indignant, like, how dare you ask the Lord Jesus that question, but you beat us to it. We were wanting that. So after all this happens, we look at verse 42, and it says here, Jesus called them to Him and said to them. So if you just picture an incident has happened, and Christ in a way is saying, all right, come here, guys. I want to teach you guys a lesson. I'm going to show you something that clearly you're not seeing by how you behaved in the previous verses. So come here. Let's gather around. Let's look at this lesson. So that's what I want to do today briefly. So, verse 42. And Jesus called them to Him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of Gentiles lord it over them. Now, just remember, earlier on, Christ said, you don't know what you ask. So these people don't know something, and Christ starts a conversation with them by showing them what they do know. Because so often, in order to change someone's mind about something, show them what they do know, and then explain out of that what they should know. Why did Christ need to explain this mindset to them? Well, the natural mindset in the world is the one who's the greatest. That's the spot to be. Not the one who's greatest, the one who is first, the one who is in the prime spot. That's the spot everyone wants. We know what Jesus said earlier. He said, some who are first are going to be last, and some who are last are going to be first. I mean, Christ is coming along and flip-flopping everything that the mindset of the world has. And He's telling His disciples, look, the Gentiles, yeah, they lord over it, they're rulers. But that's not going to be so among you. Those in My kingdom, I want you to be slaves. Then you're going to be first. It's your slave of all. He's flipping the mindset. Now, in order to change their minds, Christ needs to give a pretty good example of why this mindset is correct. It's not just enough for me to tell you today, well, the best way is that those who are slave of all are going to be first. You can say, well, wait a minute, why is that so? So what reason does Christ use? Well, He uses Himself as the reason, as the example for why this is so. So let's look at verse 45. He gives, in a way, a greater to lesser than argument. For even the Son of Man came not to be served. Think of how convincing of an argument this is. If our president is mopping the floor, for even the president is mopping the floor, what does that speak to you? In a way, it's saying, how much more should I be mopping the floor? If the president is doing it, if Christ, the greatest, is serving, how much more should I? And so He goes in to say, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He's using Himself as an example. Now, does the Son of Man even refer to Christ? That's one question I had as I read this verse. He's kind of talking in a different way here. He says, for even the Son of Man. We hear Jesus is talking and He says, even the Son of Man. Well, is He referring to Himself? And we find in John chapter 9, let me just read that really quick. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So Christ is the Son of Man. He's referred to, he uses this name for himself almost 80 times in the New Testament. It's a very common name that he refers to himself as. So the verse says, even the Son of Man. The next question is, why would he call himself the Son of Man there, not the Son of God? Why use Son of Man? What's he wanting them to think about by using that there, not Son of David, not Son of God, but Son of Man? Well, one thought is this. In Daniel 7:13, there's a prophecy there. And it refers to someone who's coming that's like a Son of Man. And it says this person is going to be given dominion and all peoples should serve him. And so one thought is he's using Son of Man because these people knew of this prophecy in Daniel that said one's going to come like the Son of Man who people are going to serve him. And he's telling them, look, guys, the one whom all are going to serve one day, the one who's going to have dominion over all things, the Son of Man, I am He, and I've come not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Though I'm going to have dominion one day over all things, I've come to serve, not to be served. Another reason that I think he's using the Son of Man is, in part, it emphasizes his humanity. Son of Man. We find in other places he was born in our likeness. He came. He's able to enter in with us in every respect. Hebrews 2:17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Now, why would it matter at all to emphasize in any way his humanity? Well, one reason may be if he says, Son of God, I came to serve, they may think, well, of course you came to serve. You're the Son of God. That's what you're here for, is to serve us. But by saying, no, I'm the Son of Man, using that there, in a way it can reprove any idea in their minds that, well, what's that thought? Let me get my thought. Lord, help me. Son of Man. So say I say, well, of course Christ came to serve me. He's the Son of God. But he's saying, no, I'm a Son of Man. I'm a man just like you. And if you're going to look for an excuse to not seek to serve, but to be served, you can't have that excuse because I'm a man just like you in every respect, and I've come to serve. And so no excuse is that, well, because I'm the Son of God, you don't need to be getting down and washing people's feet and serving them. It says in Philippians 2:7, being born in the likeness of men. Now, it doesn't just emphasize his humanity. Verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man, not a Son of Man, but the Son of Man. And if indeed he's referring to Daniel 7 here, the Son of Man, the one who's going to be given all dominion, it's in part he's showing his deity here. So he's in a way referring to humanity, showing that, and at the same time, deity. I'm going to have dominion one day over all. And again, the argument is for even the Son of Man, if He came to serve, not to be served, how much more should we be serving? If He came and He showed the standard to be first is to be slave of all. And you know, Christ perfectly did that, and He was exalted above every name. He was exalted the highest, and He served at the lowest point for people. So verse 45, even the Son of Man, for even the Son of Man came. Now think of that word came. It kind of just goes right by when we read it. You know, we say sometimes, did you hear so-and-so came to church? You know, did you hear Brother Andy's going to come to the conference? And there's kind of an excitement, so-and-so came. But we should be amazed that Christ even came at all to earth. That should amaze us, that He even came at all. Secondly, what should amaze us right here is not just that He came, but what did He come to do? What did the one person who should be the last person to serve, the one we should all be serving, what did He come to do? He came to serve. Now think more than that. What does the verse say next? For even the Son of Man came. Well, He came. That's incredible. He came not to be served, but to serve. That's incredible. And the most incredible thing is the last half of the verse. How did He come to serve? How did Jesus Christ come here to serve? What does the verse say? And to give His life as a ransom. Christ didn't just come and pay money to save us from our sins. And He couldn't have done that. God wouldn't be just if He would have done that. Christ came and He offered Himself as the price to pay our ransom, to free us from the wrath of God, from sin, from the eternal judgment that we justly deserve. When you think about it, what human becomes an ant? And not just becomes an ant to rule over the ants, but becomes an ant to serve the ants. And here Christ has left glory, become a man, not to rule over all of us, but to serve all of us. I mean, that's incredible. And then the way in which He came to serve us, by sacrificially laying His life down to pay the price that we needed to be redeemed. And we see this in John 13. Christ giving Himself an example there. 13 verses 13, it says, "You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then your Lord and teacher," hear Him, "if I then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." So the same thing's happening here in Mark 10. He's using Himself as an example. Because you can't say to Christ, you can't say, "Well, but you know, there's someone who's higher than you and they set a different example." Christ, who's the highest, set the example that to be greatest is to be slave of all. Is to come not to be served, but to serve. And then to serve by sacrificially laying your life down. So it's first off amazing that He became a man. Secondly, that He came at all. Thirdly, that He came to serve, not to be served. And lastly, the fact He came to pay the ransom price. So as we're thinking about this, this is the thing. Do these truths change your mindset about how you live, even today as we're here together as a local body, or as you go to the conference next week, or wherever you're at? Does the example of Christ coming to serve, Christ coming to sacrifice Himself to pay your ransom, does that give you any desire to think, "Wait a minute, that should be my mindset too"? If my king has set that example and he says to be first in the kingdom is to be slave of all, then that's the very thing I'm going to seek to do. That's the very thing I'm going to pursue. We find in Philippians 2, verses 3. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what happens when you humble yourself? Well, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Christ is exalted above all, and yet the example that got him to that exaltation was being a servant, not coming to be served. And as it says right there, he emptied himself. And the thing that gets in the way of us serving others is self. It's pride. It manifests itself in so many ways where there's something that I don't want to do that. It's too low for me. So let's read verse 45 again. So after Christ has told them in verse 44, he's going to be first among you, must be slave of all. Then he says, you know why? Because even me, the Son of Man, who will have dominion over all, who all one day are going to serve, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he set the standard. Now, I want to... Let's think for a moment about that word serve. We kind of use the word serve, but what's going through your mind when you think about serving? Serve, it means to wait upon. And it is a good example to think about. At a restaurant, someone's waiting upon you. And Christ is saying, rather than you being the one to be served, you seek to serve. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong for people to serve you. The last thing you want is a mindset, well, no one better serve me, I'm just going to serve you. That can be very proud. You want people to be able to serve you. That takes humility to have people waiting on you. The word, it means to relieve one's necessities. So as I'm here at the church, wherever, at a conference, at home, is there something in someone's life, a necessity that's not being met? Am I seeking to serve them and to meet that need? It means to provide, to take care of. It means to attend to anything that may serve another's interest. Is my mind a mind where I'm looking to what are people here today's interests? What interest do you all have? Am I seeking to meet those needs? Am I seeking to serve in that way? That's what Christ did. And remember, the greatest interest we had was we had a penalty of sins that we needed to be taken care of to save us from going to hell. And Christ met that for us by paying the fine, by the ransom of the sacrifice of himself. I mean, he did the greatest thing we needed. Can't we do the least thing that some others need? If he did the greatest for us? So, am I looking to supply things? We read in some verses like Luke 8. It says there, Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. You know, when you think about serving, it's not just I go get someone else's means, use their means to serve. But I'm serving out of my own means. I'm taking that which is mine and I'm seeking to serve that individual. You know, there's times I've wronged people where there's an opportunity to serve and I just didn't want to, so I got someone else to serve that person instead of me. That wasn't serving out of my means. That was me yanking someone else in because I just didn't want to do it. That was wrong motive. Romans 15. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. When you think about serving, it's bringing aid. You think about the medic. Here you're hurt. I go and I bring aid to patch you up. Well, I'm bringing aid for people's emotional needs, physical needs, you know, every aspect of the life. What interest do you have? What need do you have? The mind of Christ is I'm seeking to meet those needs. In the King James in 1 Corinthians 16, I like how they rendered the word there, same meaning, just different word. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know, if you want a good addiction, a good enslavement, as Christ said, be slave of all. Well, what's a good thing to be a slave of? Addicted to serving people. Now, again, we got to balance things out, right? Because we know in Luke 10, Martha, Martha, why are you anxious with much serving? And yeah, it's good to be addicted to serving, but don't let serving get in the way of Christ like Martha did there in Luke 10. So, if Christ is saying that we need to serve, that should be our mindset. And again, it should be a joyful mindset. If you see what Christ has done for you, it's not going to be out of compulsion. It's going to be out of thankfulness, gratefulness, that the Lord Jesus would pay my ransom. How can I not pay someone's cell phone bill? Not someone who was negligent and I'm enabling them by paying their cell phone bill, but there's a real legitimate need there. Again, I'm not saying throw a discernment out the window. If anyone asks you for money, give them money. If anyone asks you, I need to talk on the phone for a couple of hours. Well, look, if they really need a need, then talk to them, meet their emotional need. But if they're running to you over the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a place to point them away from you and say, have you sought the Lord? Because the psalmist said it's better to take refuge in God than to trust in man. So in all these things, we've got to be balanced because there's extremes that can be bad. Too much serving. People have too much reliance on you. We've got to be careful. So, simple ways to serve in the church. I mean, we've all heard it. Pick up chairs, wash dishes, bring food. But this is the thing I think we run into. It's right that certain people set the standard and they're doing the task on a weekly basis. What we need to be careful of doing is forgetting about it and saying, well, they're always doing that and they've got it handled. What we need to be watching for is when do they need help? Or when should I take over? When should they get a season of rest? Because I think we get comfortable, well, they're always doing the lemonade right there. And that's great. If they're doing that, nothing's wrong with them doing that every week for the next 20 years. Nothing's wrong with that. What's wrong is if we're not seeking to relieve them. What's wrong is we're not seeking to see when does these people need help. When is that guy like Brandon Pitts, he's sick today. So am I noticing Brandon Pitts is sick? Who's going to be cleaning up tonight? It's not going to be Brandon Pitts. So I'm thinking about it. You know, one of the important things to be able to serve the saints here today or at the fellowship conference or wherever is that you yourself meet with God in the morning. Because if you don't get poured into by the Lord and you just come here expecting for everyone to pour into you, when you get in a conversation, you won't have anything to pour into them and it's just going to go nowhere. So come with the mindset, I'm coming to serve, not to be served. And, you know, even at a conference, for example, it's very easy to say, well, I'm going to sleep in during the conference. I'm not going to get up early. I'm not going to meet with the Lord in the morning. You don't want to do that there. You want to be meeting with the Lord, being able to pour into others. Again, always we need to be seeking to meet spiritual needs. And what are we talking against? We need this mindset against what mindset? The mindset of James and John. What was their mindset again? Verse 36, and he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? 37, and they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory. They were wanting preeminence. They were wanting the key spot. We need to be able to just say, you know what? I don't need that. I'm fine having the least spot. So here's something is just some practical ways that came to mind to serve if you're going to the fellowship conference. And this can apply if you're not going there. But I really want people in our church going there with a mindset to serve. That's just important. First, think about it. If Christ came not to be served, you know, how much more are the preachers at the conference coming not to be served? They're coming to serve. That's their point. That's their reason. It's not about what they can get. It's about serving others. So if Christ did that, all of us, even the preachers, even those who are doing whatever task, we're all there to serve. You're not in a specific spot if you've got this responsibility. We're all there to serve. Now, why does that matter? You want to take into consideration on how much time and energy do you take out of someone. Say if you go there, you don't just want to hang around Charles Leiter the entire time just trying to ask him all these questions if there's other people who have bigger needs than yourself. You want him to be able to meet their needs. You want to realize that you want to be praying, you know, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to talk about? Who can I encourage during this time? That's what we should be praying as we come here on Sunday. That should be our mindset. I'm here to serve you guys. So, very practical. I've known multiple people who at conferences like the one coming up next week, they're intimidated to go because they're scared they won't have anyone to talk to. And I've talked to a man from another state, and he told me one year he didn't want to come because he was so scared he'd be isolated. Now, does he have sin there that he needs to repent of? Sure, but I'm looking to serve him, not just going to reprove him and say, you need to forget about yourself. And so in our mindsets, we should be thinking, okay, who's isolating themselves? My mindset shouldn't be, I'm just going to hang around all of those that I already know. My mindset should be, who here doesn't know anyone that I can encourage? Especially a conference like this, a lot of people are coming, they don't have a church, they don't know anyone there. And so we want to have a mindset, I'm going to look for those people specifically. That person who, you know, sometimes even here, you'll see someone during the mealtime, no one's talking to them, they're kind of just standing around, and then they walk out the door to go to their car. And I've seen people chase after them, to talk to them, to try to encourage them to stay, to give some fellowship. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking like that. And to look like that, we can't be looking like this. And we can't be worried about what are people thinking about me. Yeah, to serve, one of the big things that gets in the way of serving is pride. Pride. I mean, one practical example I had is, you know, at the conference, I do the sound. And at one point, there was a sound problem. I knew I needed to go run to the front and change the batteries out. And I hesitated to do it sooner because I was worried if it looked like I was interrupting them. It's just pride. I was worried about something. And what that did was I didn't serve the saints because now the sound wasn't good and the people in the back couldn't hear for a couple of minutes. And if I would have just went up really quick, changed the batteries, forget about what people think about me, forget about self, forget about pride, I would have helped serve the saints. So that's a small way. But there's a lot of other ways that fear of man and pride, it keeps us from serving others. We're too worried about ourselves. You know, your motive for being at church, being at a conference, that's a really big deal. I remember Charles Leiter saying he would never go to a conference if he knew he was going to go there because he was going to try to find a spouse. He knew his whole motive would be wrong. If I'm going to the conference and my whole goal is I'm going to subtly manipulate and try to find a spouse here, he realized, why even go? God could give you a spouse there, but don't let that be your motive. Your motive is to serve, not yourself, but to serve others. You know, what are some temptations while you're serving? Man's approval. I look like I know what I'm doing. You know, there can be a temptation. You're doing some task and someone else, you know, they think, wow, it's amazing you're doing that. And you just get, oh, yeah, I'm just something else. One brother told me that he felt overqualified for his position. Overqualified. Have you ever done something, served in some way, and the thought comes in your mind, I'm overqualified for this? You know what thought came in my mind? Who is the most overqualified person who ever lived? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that didn't stop him from doing the lowest task. And so none of us are overqualified. It's a blessing to see those, even in our eyes, that we may think they're something special, and yet they're doing the lowest task. That's the example that we all have got to set. In Philippians, it mentions wrong motives. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. One thing you want to do is be genuinely concerned for someone's welfare. When you're seeking to serve people, am I genuinely concerned for their welfare? Or am I doing it because so-and-so is watching me and this makes me look good? What's our motive? You know, I've known many people here, you've talked to me and you've expressed you feel tempted to do that. And there's times I feel tempted to do that, to be doing something and worried someone's seeing it. And it doesn't mean you're giving into sin just because you feel the pull. But when you feel the pull to worry about them seeing you, Don't give in to it. Just take the way of escape. Just realize that doesn't matter. I don't need treasure on this earth. I'm wanting treasure in heaven. I'm wanting God's approval, not man's. What did Martha say in Luke 10? She's kind of upset. She's serving. You know what she said to the Lord? Tell her to help me. Tell Mary to help me. And you don't want that attitude either. If you're serving around, you don't want to be thinking, come on, go tell them to help me too. Go tell them to help me. I should be content. I'm serving. I'm fine that I'm serving. It doesn't mean there's not a place to ask for help. But her heart was clearly wrong there in the attitude. Just tell her to help me. Come on. It's a privilege to be able to serve in any way. So, conclusion, if Jesus Christ has served you by paying your ransom price by the sacrifice of Himself, then what service for another can you not do? You know, even think of Christ. Here a man in a tree is, he goes over to talk to him. Talk about going and talking to the odd man out. Talk about going out of your way to get to the person who no one's really around them. They're shorter than the others. They're in the tree to find, look into the crowds. Those are the people we want to be looking for at conferences, even in the church. And it doesn't mean you're just giving them pity. Oh, poor person, you know, no one wants to talk to them. No, you go genuinely concerned. I want to know who you are. I want to know when you were converted. I want to know what you're going through. I want to bear your burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ and love you as Christ has so loved me and sacrificed Himself for me. You know, one of the biggest rebukes for me was when we had Micah here. Micah had a board, and to talk to him, you had to put the letter, you had to put A and then B, you had to spell the words on a little foam board. And once he was gone, I just had to examine my heart. And I thought, you know what, there's times I wouldn't talk to him for a long time because it took me exerting so much time, so much energy. Yet the Lord Jesus would have sat there for hours and typed on the little board thing to spell to Micah. And that's got to be our heart. I'm sorry, Micah would be the one doing the letters and spelling to you to get the words across. It took time. Now, should I sit there and talk to Micah out of pity? No, it shouldn't be out of pity, out of love. He's got a soul, he's got a heart, he's got a mind, he's a real person. I need to be there to serve. It's easier to talk to someone who's really easy to talk to. Because some of that can be serving yourself. And again, there's a time where I need to be served. I need to talk to the preacher. I need to talk to the person and get something from them. I've got a need. But we need to be careful that we're not overly gravitating towards those who just help our needs, but we're looking to meet the needs of others. You know, we talk about Christ paying a ransom. He died for who? His enemies. Okay? That should be something too. It's not just that I'm serving those who are my brothers and sisters. I'm seeking to serve my enemies as well, because that's what Christ has done. Matthew 25:41. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, greet one another. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison, and did not serve to you, minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, one of the tests, if we're even a Christian, is are we serving? And another thing in this text, as much as I do to the least of these, I do unto who? The Lord. I mean, it's really helpful to think about it like this. As I serve you, as though as if I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And partiality is a very deceitful sin because it seems justifiable at times. Yet we need to repent of that. It can't be just what am I going to get? an example. Tim told me years ago, it impacted me. I never forgot it. He said there was a conference at community, and Tim had gotten work off that week. He was able to make the conference, just excited to make the conference. And after the midday meeting, the guy from the pulpit said, "Brethren, we need someone here to pick up a speaker from the airport. Who wants to do it?" Tim told me he felt a burden that he should do it, and he didn't. Well, later that night, that man came, the speaker, and he preached. And he said it was one of the most powerful sermons he heard. Well, that man who preached that night was Paul Washer. It's the first time he heard him. And the lesson Tim taught me in that is this. If he already would have known who Paul Washer was, what would have happened? Who wants to pick up Paul Washer? Everyone's raising their hands. I want to do that. I want to do that. And the other lesson was there's consequences. If he would have followed the Spirit's leading, he would have had a better relation, got to know Paul sooner than the couple years later when he did. Those are what I remember, Tim. Sorry if I butchered it. But that was huge. You don't want to, look, we put people in categories because we know them, we have respect for them, we esteem them, and there's a place to esteem men. But how many people who just want to go pick up Paul Washer because he's Paul Washer would be doing it with a sinful motive? And it wouldn't be about honoring and glorifying God, it'd be about what they could get. It'd be about meeting their own needs. And we don't want that mindset. We shouldn't have that mindset. We need to forget about partiality. If God's burdening you to talk to someone, to pick someone up, to do whatever, then follow the leading of the Spirit. In the end, you'll honor and glorify God, even if you don't get anything out of it. It's not about getting anything out of it. It's about being a slave. You're not getting paid. And you don't need to. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake. And that's the thing. We want to be awake today. We want to be awake at the conference. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he, the Lord, will come and serve them. I mean, think of that. The Lord didn't stop with serving us just by ransoming us from sin, from the wrath of God, from hell. He didn't just pay our ransom and that's it. He's continued to serve us. Even to the end, He'll be there serving us. That's amazing. That's got to be your motivator. If your heart's not gripped with a joy that Christ has served you so much, then it doesn't matter if you have a list of 20 ways to serve everyone here. If your heart's not right, you're going to be missing opportunities. If your heart's right, you won't need any list. You will see an opportunity there, an opportunity there. And as you walk by the Spirit, you're going to be able to go and to serve others as needs come about. Because needs are going to be popping at us. As Paul said in Titus, you need to be able to meet urgent needs. Here an urgent need is a sudden need. It comes and I'm able to meet it because my heart's right. You know, if anyone sees his brother in need and closes his heart, how does God's love abide in him? Meaning, how are you a Christian if your heart closes? And I felt it. There's times people have asked to borrow my van. People have asked other things. And I felt my heart trying to shrivel up. And it was just a sick reminder of sin, of self, of pride. And I had to say, you know what? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. I need to trust the Lord. Again, you got to be balanced. That doesn't mean you enable someone. It doesn't mean if you ask me to borrow my car after the message is done, I'm going to give you the keys. We got to use wisdom in all of this. Or else we're not loving people. If they're just using us as their slave in order that they're not going and living for the Lord themselves, then we don't want to be enabling them to do that. If anyone doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. There's a place. They're not working. Don't even give them food. They need to go get a job. Well, it's unloving to not give them food. No, there's a place where it's not unloving. It's more loving to do that than to not. So Christ goes above and beyond to serve us. How can we not do the same here in the church and at the conference? And again, we can refresh our minds with these things and it can affect us today. But the only thing that will carry it the next year, the next month, is going to be it really gripping our hearts For even the Son of Man, He came. You know why He came? Not to be served. He came to serve. And you know how He came to serve? He came to serve by paying the ransom price that we needed to be delivered from hell, to be delivered from our sins, to be delivered from the wrath of God. And He paid that by sacrificing Himself on the cross under the wrath of God to set us free. And to set us free, not that we continue in sin that grace may abound. How can we who died to sin still continue in it? We can't continue in it. We've got a new heart. A heart that doesn't live a life of closing itself and not wanting to serve one another. But a heart that says, Lord, I want to do that. Help me when the physical flesh is getting in the way. I want to serve You. I want to honor You because You loved me and died for me. Hudson Taylor said, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in that little thing is a great thing. Be faithful in the littlest thing. And when you get the thought, I'm overqualified, you can just throw that away. I'm being faithful. God sees a faithful heart. And again, we need this as a church to be long-lasting. And unless you're gripped with the reality of what Christ came to do, you can get motivated all day long and just a month from now, you're not doing any type of serving. You're not looking for opportunities. You're totally focused on yourself. So I just wanted to share those thoughts, just even for here. But just, yeah, this conference, if you're going there, make sure your mind, your heart, make sure it's right. Lord, I'm here to serve people. Out of 900 people coming, a lot don't have churches. They don't have intimate relationships. And there's some real needs there that we can help meet. We can easily take it for granted that we have one another in this context. Even forget who it was. Someone just moved here and they let me know how easy it appears people take it for granted that there's so many like-minded believers here together that we're able to talk and have real conversations. And you want to carry that to the conference, carry that wherever you go and be able to serve others and think about them and forget about yourself. And you can do that because Christ came, even Him. He came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down His life as a sacrifice for us. Well, let me pray. Lord, we just pray for Your help. Lord, yeah, how can we do anything? It's by Your power. Let the one who serves serve with the strength that God supplies, so in everything God will be glorified. And Lord, that's our thing. We want You to be glorified. We want to be serving with the right heart. Lord, we want to go above and beyond. Lord, to love as You have loved, to serve, to be a slave of all. Lord, You are the most preeminent one, and You gave us the example by coming and even washing feet and even laying Your life down. Lord, would You help us to do that? Would You change our hearts in any way that there's something that's wrong? Would You deliver us from any partiality? Lord, would You even deliver us from just any self? Lord, and even just fear of man. Lord, fear of awkwardness at lunchtime, feeling awkward. Do I go sit with them or not? Well, you know, all that stuff, Lord, that we battle against. Lord, we need Your help. I just pray You'd fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we could mortify the deeds of the flesh and put to death our earthly members. Lord, that we would just be able to exalt You, honor You, glorify You. And I just pray You'd be with us here today. Lord, be near to us. Help us glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're so thankful that at that name, every knee is going to bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And You are Lord. And we don't call You Lord, not do what You say. Lord, help us to do what You say. In Christ's name, amen.